I'm going to ask you, as we get a little bit further on in the evening, I will probably ask those of you in the back rows to move up a little bit, and you're going to get used to this, because on Thursday nights, there is a portion of what we're doing. We're calling this the Holy Spirit Laboratory. Boris Karloff. Boris Karloff. The laboratory. And so we're going to encourage you to be sitting towards the front only so that you can hear each other. Because part of what we are trying to do is to learn to listen to the Lord. And we'll be spending some time sharing what God has been saying to us and what God is doing at work. I'm thinking in a couple weeks, I'm going to even make it a little bit like Sunday. And I'm not going to do a circle up front, but I might do a couple of half circles. And we're going to do all kinds of weird, crazy things. We won't fall on the floor. I don't think we're going to fall on the floor. But you know what? There is no snakes. Don't be afraid of what God wants to do in your life. The Bible says that God is the giver of every good gift. And even in that context, those good gifts include the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There's been a lot of crazy, weird, whacked out stuff that happens all over the place. Some of you have probably been exposed to some crazy things, and it's probably not even fair for me to call it crazy, because for some people, maybe they appreciate it. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily make you weird, unless you're already weird to begin with. I don't know. It just makes me a little bit crazier. I don't know. Don't be afraid of what God wants to do. God gives good gifts, not gifts to be afraid of. He gives good gifts. Last week, we focused on who the Holy Spirit is. And basically, I just had two points to the message. I was talking about how the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an impersonal force or a thing or an it, you know. The famous Star Wars line, use the force, Luke, use the force. You know, the Holy Spirit is not a force. I mean, he is a force, but he's a person. He's a force just like I'm a force. I'll punch you in the nose, you know. I can push you. I can do things. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. And we talked last week about how the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. There's plenty of scripture, just like we did on Sunday morning. I thought it was kind of neat the way the Lord tied it all together. On Sunday morning, we talked about Jesus being God. And last Thursday night, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is also God. He's a person and he's God. President Abraham Lincoln often visited hospitals to talk with wounded soldiers during the Civil War. Once, the doctors pointed out a young soldier who was near death, and Lincoln went over to his bedside. "Is there anything I can do for you?" asked the president. The soldier obviously didn't recognize Lincoln, and with some effort he was able to whisper, "Would you please write a letter to my mother?" A pen and paper were provided, and the president carefully began writing down what the young man was able to say. "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty. I'm afraid I'm not going to recover. Don't grieve too much for me, please. Kiss Mary and John for me. May God bless you and Father." The soldier was too weak to continue, so Lincoln signed the letter for him and added, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." The young man asked to see the note and was astonished when he discovered who had written it. "Are you really the president?" he asked. "Yes, I am," Lincoln replied quietly. Then he asked if there was anything else he could do. "Would you please hold my hand?" the soldier asked. It will help to see me through to the end." In the hushed room, the tall, gaunt president took the boy's hand, spoke warm words of encouragement until death came. That's kind of like the Holy Spirit working in your life, working in my life. Sometimes we just didn't recognize him. Sometimes we didn't realize who who he was. I hope that every once in a while we might catch our breath and go, oh, my gosh, God was at work here. So we're going to talk tonight about what is the Holy Spirit like? What does he do? My hope is that we can, and I think I'll probably do this same thing next week. I'll only cover a couple things this week. I want to make sure that you recognize who he is and what he does and what he wants to do in your life. Number one, and I think I've only got three things I want to say here, 3 points. First thing is that he glorifies Jesus. This is like at the top of the Holy Spirit's to-do list every day. You know, number one thing to do. What should I do today? On the top of the Holy Spirit's to-do list is to glorify Jesus. John 15:26 says this, but when the Helper comes, this is Jesus speaking, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, one of the things the Holy Spirit has come to do is to point to Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to put the spotlight on Jesus. His job is not to draw attention to himself, and that's probably one of the reasons why some of us know so little about him, because he does a good job at being invisible and hiding and not drawing attention to himself. His goal is to point to Jesus Christ. As we learn more and more about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives, one of the traps we fall into is to begin to think that we are going to be like some awesome cosmic power. You know, when we start talking about the things that the Holy Spirit can do in people, oh my goodness. When you think about people being healed, when you think about people having a glimpse from time to time of the future, you think about miracles being performed, sometimes some people get really excited about that and they think, wow, awesome cosmic power at our fingertips. I'm going to be the next WWE champion or something. You know, I can do awesome things. No. You've missed the boat completely. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't want to draw attention to you. And he doesn't want to draw attention to himself. He's going to draw attention to Jesus. He wants to point people to the one on the cross. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put people over and over looking back to Jesus. It's kind of a test to see who's working in your life. The question is, who's the spotlight on? Sometimes some of us are, hey, I'll step up to the front on this one. Some of us are a bit too needy. I don't know if that means anything to you. Some of us are a bit too needy. We need attention. And I want people to notice me. Well, that's a pretty cool thing to think. When you start learning about what the Holy Spirit can do, it's like, well, this could even work good. I could be the guy in the spotlight. No. Because if the Holy Spirit is at me like he should be, one of the things that's going to happen is that the spotlight is going to be on Jesus, pointing people away from me and pointing people to Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Who saves people? Not Rich Cathers. Who helps people? Rich does. I don't know. Some of you are fooled about that. I've fooled you really good about it for some of you. No, I don't help people. He does. And if we're letting him do his job, the Holy Spirit, he's pointing to Jesus. Okay. Number two, he helps us. Who is the Holy Spirit? What's he like? He helps us. John 14, Jesus speaking, and he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be he dwells with you and will be in you." Now, a couple things to point out. Jesus calls him another helper. The word, the Greek word, means another of the same kind. That's kind of important. I'm going to give you another helper, another of the same kind. We'll talk about what it means in a second. The word for helper is the word parakletos. It comes from the word para, which means alongside. Kletos comes from the word for, means the word for calling. Kaleo is the word. So parakletos, someone who is called alongside, someone who's called alongside to help, someone who's summoned, someone who, or it can be one who pleads another's cause. Sometimes it's used in the New Testament as the defense attorney. That's the guy you call when you, after you call the bail bondsman, you know, then you call the defense attorney, somebody to bail you out, somebody to help you, somebody to stand up in front of the judge for you. That's one who comes alongside. A helper, it means a helper or an aid or an assistant. This is who the Holy Spirit is. He's another helper, another of the same kind. What does he mean by that? Well, Jesus is the first helper. He's the helper that the disciples have known for 3.5 years. He's been with them all the time. He's been the one that was, I'm sorry, it's not the parakeet, it's the parakeet. So it's not the parakeet, it's the, sorry. Okay. Jesus has been there for the last 3.5 years. He's been there to pray for them. You catch glimpses of this in the Scripture. Whether it's in the Garden of Gethsemane or John 17 where he's praying for his disciples, or in Mark chapter 1 early in the morning he goes out to a lonely place and he's praying. Or after he feeds the 5,000, he sends them off and he goes and prays. He's been the one praying for them. He's the one who's bailed them out of difficult things. He's the one who, when they're crossing the Sea of Galilee in the boat and the storm comes up and Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat, they got to wake him up and say, "Jesus, help us out here." And what does he do? He turns to the storm and he says, "Hush. Be still." And this huge storm, the hurricane, stops. He's the one that's done that for them. He's been their helper, the one they've called alongside. He's the one that's answered their questions. You know, when they met the man who was born blind and they say, "Whose fault was that?" They asked Jesus, and he answered their questions. He answered the tough things. He's been their helper. When they didn't understand something, they'd ask Jesus, "What does this mean?" That's who Jesus is. He's their helper. The Holy Spirit is another helper. You and I mean, it would be pretty cool, wouldn't it, to have been there those 3.5 years letting Jesus do those things? I mean, that would be really pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Gang, the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind. He wants to do the same kinds of things for you that Jesus did for the disciples. He's a helper. He's present in our lives. Kind of like that story of Abraham Lincoln. He's there. Third thing, he guides us. He guides us. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. We've talked about this recently. He wants to teach us. John 14:26, Jesus says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." He will teach us. Some of that involves getting a fresh understanding of the Scriptures. It's important that as men and women who want to be used by God, it's important that we're in the Scriptures. I don't know if God's going to use you quite the way he could if you aren't in the Scriptures, if you aren't reading your Bible. He will continue to give us a fresh understanding in Scriptures. That's my job, isn't it? My job is to teach, right? That's kind of what I get to do. That's kind of like the coolest job in the world. And so I get to spend a lot of time in Scriptures. And I can't tell you how many times I am amazed at what the Scriptures are about. I don't know it all. I might impress you, and you might think that I know it all, but I don't. And when I come to the passage that I'm supposed to teach on for Sunday, I can't tell you how many times I look at it and I go, what's this all about? Even if I've taught it three or four times, sometimes I'm still looking at it. I'm a bear of very little brain. You know, I'm full of stuffing, and I kind of don't retain stuff. And I am amazed at how the Holy Spirit is able to teach me. For example, last Sunday, I had the message all written and done and tucked away, and I printed and stuffed in my folder and ready to go, and I went to bed, and that was it. I was ready. And I got up in the morning, and I had to change some stuff because there were some things that just I needed to say something a little bit different. You know, there's a section in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And to me, this is something that I don't think I had ever seen before. And I don't think I'm just making stuff up. But Jesus was saying that, okay, so you don't believe me. Look at the works that I've done. Look at the works that I've done. Believe the works. Maybe you don't believe the words. Look at the works. I mean, oh my gosh, the things that Jesus did. And so one of the things that I had done is in fact, I'm going to show this again, just because I think it would be very cool for us. Look at who Jesus is. He's awesome. He's amazing. Is the sound up in the back? It's up? Okay.
Now draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast.
He's done 6 miracles so far in John. Look at the kinds of things that Jesus has done.
Him the water, which now had turned into wine, and he tasted it.
Do you know anybody that can do that?
Your boy is going to live.
He asked them what time it was when his son got better.
It was 1 o'clock, yesterday afternoon, when the fever left him.
Then the father remembered that it was at that very hour when Jesus had told him.
Your son will live.
10 miles away, he speaks it, and the boy is healed.
Get up. Pick up your mat and walk.
Thirty-eight years this man's been lame. No hope. Thirty-eight years is a long time to get stuck in something, isn't it?
Immediately, the man got well. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed to the people who were sitting there.
Just a few loaves and a few fish. Look what Jesus does. And you wonder, how can I do the thing that's in front of me? doesn't take much.
He did the same with the fish. Disciples had rowed about 3 or 4 miles when they saw Jesus walking on the water. The mud on the man's eyes.
Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam.
This name means sent.
Can Jesus do anything? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And we mentioned this on Sunday. Sometimes the thing that he wants to do is to take you through a difficulty. Sometimes he doesn't fix everything for you. Sometimes he's going to take you through by the hand, and he's going to walk you through it. Sometimes we can think, well, he must not be real if he didn't fix all my problems. I'm sorry. When you see what he can do, Jesus can do anything. And as we've pointed out over and over, if he doesn't do it, it's not because he doesn't love you. He proved his love for you how? He died on the cross for you. You can't question his love. He can do anything, including taking you through things. Now, the Holy Spirit can give us understanding of the Scriptures. He can bring remembrance. He says he brings things into memory. He reminds us of things we've already learned. Sometimes it's not a fresh understanding of the Scriptures that helps us. Sometimes all he has to do is just remind us of something we already know. I was reading this morning Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Now, why does that mean something to me? Because sometimes I get caught up in all the things that I have to do, and I kind of think that everything depends on me sometimes. Sometimes I think that, you know, if I don't do this, the world is going to fall apart. That's just the way it is. That's the way I've worked myself into my corner. You know what? This is good to remember this morning. you know what? You know, you can actually hang it up for the night and go to bed. God can take care of it. God, I'm going to put the world back in your on your desk tonight. Would you please handle it while I get a few hours of shut-eye? You know, he can handle this, you know. He gives us, he reminds us of the Scriptures. And by the way, it's kind of hard for him to remind you of the Scriptures when you're not in them. So be in the Scriptures so that he can remind you. The Spirit wants to guide us. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. The Greek word there means literally he'll be like an angel in your midst speaking to you, a messenger in your midst to speak to you. How does he do this? How does he guide us? I think sometimes he whispers to us about our future. I think sometimes he whispers to us about our future. There's a TV show. This is one of our family's favorite TV shows for a long time. It's called Early Edition. I don't know if you've ever saw this show. It was on about 10 years ago. And it's a story about a guy named Gary Hobson. The thing I love about it, he's just an ordinary guy. He's like totally ordinary, totally flawed, no superpowers or anything. I mean, I like the guys with superpowers, but this guy didn't have any superpowers. No superpowers. And he lives in Chicago, and every day this newspaper shows up on his doorstep outside of his apartment door, delivered by a cat, you know, of all things. It's delivered by a cat. And the thing that's ironic about this is that the paper, Chicago Sun-Times, it's tomorrow's edition. It's not today's edition. It's actually the paper for tomorrow. In other words, it tells him a couple of things that will happen that day. And over the course of the show, he's learned that he has to respond to these things. He needs to respond. There are people that he needs to help out with as just an ordinary person who just coincidentally happens to be in the right place at the right time. Something as fancy and as concrete as a newspaper that tells us what's going to happen tomorrow. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a clue. And it may not be every day. It may be like once in your life. this may happen. My wife and I met at church, Fullerton First Baptist Church. And when we started dating, I was kind of a mean guy. I broke up with her twice. I was a mean guy. I really was. And after the first time that I broke up with her, it wasn't an easy thing for her. It was easy for me. I mean, I was just, you know, a jerk. But she felt like God spoke to her. And she even wrote it down. And she wrote it down on a piece of paper and said, I think that he's going to be my husband one day. And that I'm going to be a pastor's wife. And this was before I was a pastor. And she wrote this whole thing out on notebook paper. Didn't show it to me until after we were married. I'm glad she didn't, because that would be total manipulation. So girls, don't go around doing this, okay? Don't go doing this.
You're called to be my husband.
That doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. And guys, don't flip this around. Don't get weird on this. And have I ever heard of that happening in any other marriage? I don't think so. That's a unique thing. Don't go pattering after this. I'm sharing this to say that sometimes God whispers things. And sometimes he wants to let you know a little bit about the future. Not necessarily on a regular basis, like Gary Hobson getting the paper every day about the future. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to guide you through coincidences and interruptions. I see this from time to time in my life. Coincidences and interruptions, like what was it, like a month or two ago, where your ignition broke down. I asked permission for these two people, so I actually don't owe them $5. I've asked them permission ahead of time. Daniel's car broke down. He was it like during finals week or something, and his ignition broke, just actually broke, and he was parked on the top level of the Cal State parking lot, fifth story of the parking structure, and so. It was a Tuesday, and I'm the one that has a little bit of free time on a Tuesday afternoon, and so it was my job to have to help, you know. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, I just want to watch TV or play games or do something silly and frivolous with my life, like I like to do all the time. So I'm kind of grumbling and everything, and Daniel had walked home earlier that day, and then I took him back to school so I would look at it and be the dad and figure out, oh, we just needs to jiggle the key or something, you know. And I drop him off, and I go, and I can't, it's broken. It is broken. It is really broken. And we call Auto Club. And as I'm talking to the person on Auto Club, I'm thinking, I don't think you're going to be able to tow this out of here. Because the tow truck, he's on the top level of a parking garage, you know, and I asked one of the security guys, what's the clearance? And no, it's not going to work. And they get to thinking, well, why don't you call a locksmith? And so we called a locksmith. And while we're waiting, I'm sitting there, you know, going, rush, ring, you know, Yosemite Sam's type of stuff, you know. And up walks an old, one of my brother-in-law's best friends walks up out of the clear blue. And I recognize him. And he's visited our church a couple times. And I was like, wow. And so I started talking to him, and it turns out he's parked right next to me. And I begin, the little light bulb finally goes on in my head, and I'm realizing, I think this is like a God thing. And we start talking, and I start find out where he's at, why he hasn't been at church, and where he's at, and got to encourage him in the Lord, his gentry. And it was a total appointment from God that I would not have been there if it weren't for that car. And then the locksmith shows up. And the locksmith, Alpha and Omega Locksmith Company. And I think, are you a Christian? Because, you know, not necessarily. The boss could be a Christian. It turns out, well, I'm a one-man operation, and yeah, I am a Christian. And it turns out And he looks at the keys that he's making a copy of to fix the thing and everything. And he says, is this a drum key on this? You know, because it's Daniel's keys. And he says, are you a drummer? I said, no, but my son is. And it turns out he's a drummer. He plays for the worship band at Calvary Chapel, La Habra. And we just have a great time. I am so built up, so blessed by this whole thing. And it was just one of those interruptions. It was a God thing. The other day, a friend and I were talking about someone who goes to our church and hasn't been around for a while. And this friend was concerned, and so we prayed for this person. And this person has done work for us at our house because of his particular trade. You know, he's really good at a particular trade that fits something that goes on at our house, and it has to do with pools, and so this was last week. I was praying with the friend about the guy who does pool stuff, and 3 days ago our pool pump started making a bunch of racket noise, horrible, terrible noise, and I started thinking, I wonder if this is one of those things. So yesterday I call him up. I tried fiddling with it for a couple of days just to see if it would go away. It's just going to go away, you know. It didn't go away. I called up the friend that we've been missing. His wife answers the phone. Pastor Rich, we were talking about you last night. And then he calls me up later. He comes over to the house and pours out his heart about the things that they're going through. And I actually asked him permission to share this, because it was a God appointment. And the pesky pool thing goes out. And God uses it. What's this all about? The Holy Spirit wants to guide you. This is not about me. It's not about Deb. It's not about, you know, we're such awesome spiritual people. We're just as ordinary as everything. Holy Spirit wants to use you. What's important is your availability. Will you cultivate a life of being available to Him? That's it. That's the secret. Will I be available? It's learning to pray like little boy Samuel said. He was taught by Eli how to pray when he heard God speak his name. He said, speak, Lord, your servant hears. He says, God, will you speak to me? I am your servant. I will do what you ask. That's what it's all about, gang. He wants to guide you. He wants to speak. Will you be available when He speaks? I've gone way over my time, and I apologize. So here's what we're going to do. I want to do a little bit. I want to practice a little bit more what we did last week. And here's what we did last week. We spent 5 minutes in silence. Because personally, I think this is one of the disciplines you and I need to work on. Some of us are very uncomfortable when things get quiet. Yeah, some of us, When we're in a group of people praying, if suddenly it goes quiet, we got to come up with something, because it's just too quiet in here. Everybody's uncomfortable. No. You and I need to learn that it's okay to be quiet. It's okay to be silent. And I think we'll give it another 5 minutes like we did. Maybe I might even stretch it to 6. Who knows? But we're going to be quiet. Now, you've got a little card that has somebody else's name on it. If you want, you can use it to just take notes if you feel like God speaks something to your heart. It could be that He might remind you of a scripture that you heard or read or came into, because at that we're talking about He brings to your remembrance things. Could be something like that. It might be that God doesn't say anything to you. Please be okay with that. You ought to be okay with that. It's okay if He doesn't speak. it's okay if I just love on him and just wait on him. After 5 minutes are up, I'm going to ask you to think about what God may have said to you. And you know what? It might not have been God, by the way. It could have been the pizza that you had over at Little Caesars before you got here. Or it could be, you know, the wonderful seafood pasta that Andy made for us for dinner tonight. You know, you're going to have to learn to sort this out, just like all of us are learning to do. We want to figure out, was this you, God, or was this just me? I'm also going to ask you to figure out whether it's something that's just for you, or maybe it's something that you might want to share. Maybe there would be benefit for us to hear, the rest of us to hear this. Or maybe you just want to know, do you think this is of God or not? I don't think most of us in this room are at the point of saying, I know God has spoken to me and this is what God says. I just kind of say, whoa there, buckaroo. Slow down. And it's okay to say, I think maybe God has said. And we'll just learn to test it. We'll learn to pay attention. This is a laboratory. This is an experiment. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to get a little messy. So enough of that. Let's take 5 minutes. And you can close your eyes if you want. You can think about the Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord. Speak to us this week in your word. And as Jenny exhorted us from you, may we learn to be quiet, to be still before you. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to learn to take every thought captive if necessary. And may you have free reign in our lives. I would pray, Lord, if there's maybe a few of us here who are still a little bit scared of you, some of us who maybe are a little bit scared of what might happen if we let you control our lives, if we gave you permission to guide us, I pray that you would show us glimpses of your great love this week so we wouldn't be afraid. Because you are amazing. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us not to have the pride of thinking that we've got it all together. I pray that you keep us teachable and humble. Help there not to be one of us in this room, Lord, who think we've arrived and we can look down our noses at anyone. Use us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you.